No, there ain't nothing that I gotta prove. You think your words will make me black and blue, but I think I'm pretty with these old boots on. I think it's funny when I drink too much. You try and change me, you can go to hell, 'cause I don't wanna be nobody else. I like the chip I got in my front teeth, and I got bad tattoos you won't believe. So kick out the jams, kick up the soul, pour another glass of that rock and roll, turn up the band, find the hole, gonna lose control tonight. What do you want?
Good morning to you. It is Tuesday, November the 14th, and I am thankful that you are back with us again this morning on the Jennifer Campbell Show. So kind of producer Polly to have a little check on me. Just before we came on the air, I was, if you're watching us on Rogers Television, I had a remote in each hand. I was trying to get the technology in here to work. And as a raging feminist, it pains me to say, I'm not good at it. I'm not good at technology, but I figured it out. You know, you have to, when you have to figure something out, I'm better at that under pressure. Like if I'm like, I just have to do it, you know, we can be equal, but we can be different. And I'll tell you something. I blame this completely on my partner, on my boyfriend, Scotty P, because here's what happened, Polly. In radio, you have to know how to use equipment. It's kind of a job requirement. You need to know how to use equipment. Some of it. Now, Polly, your list of equipment dealings is, you know, much longer than mine.
It's a million items long, yes.
And you have the brain that knows how to use it, and probably because you've been doing it for a long time.
Yeah, quite a few years now, yeah.
Well, I first met Scotty P, my man, in radio school at Humber. Radio school, by the way, is an oxymoron. I've probably said this before. It's more like kindergarten for grown-ups with alcohol. I think that's more of a good description. So he's a genius. The man can build anything, and when it comes to, you know, tactile things. So I completely just let him do all that work for me in college. Terrible feminist. Let's be honest here.
He did all of your assignments for you?
Well, I would be the talent. You know, I'd mouth off all the time and voice everything, and he would produce it. So
right.
I'm embarrassed to admit that today, but I am a better person now. I could edit a phone call if I needed to, you know, or something like that. I certainly couldn't do what you did, Polly, but best under pressure, I suppose, when you have to get something to work. But then I don't want to, you know, I'm entitled about my, I'm like, oh, I don't want to do it. And I have an engineer in the house. So why am I even doing this? You know, does your wife rely on you to do a lot of that kind of like technology, electronic stuff? Is she good at that too?
She's not bad at it. I mean, I guess I'm better at it than she is.
Because you do it all
the
time.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, she can hook stuff up if she has to.
That's why I was in here waving my arms wildly with different remotes. And how can it be 2017 and we still need two remotes for one television, people? That's what I want to know. Come on. It's got to be easier than this. We have a busy show for busy people today. Here's the good one. And Paul, you start thinking about this and producer James start thinking about this because, frankly, at 9:15, I'm not sure how well this is going to go. Because what we're going to do is tell you a story about a judge who ordered a man to say nice things about his ex. And we'll tell you why that kind of happened, what that order was in court. But here's the challenge for you guys at star 570 and at 519-570-2545. Say something nice about your ex. We'll give you some time. Because in an ideal world, we'd all be able to do that. But I don't know. We are not perfect. We're not a perfect species. Sometimes it's not easy to, you know, forget all the negative and focus on something positive. But you can email them to me too, jennifer@570news.com. Say something nice about your ex. We'll tell you that story in just a few minutes. Also, the majority of us would skip this major holiday tradition if we could. What is it? We're going to find out coming up at 9:45. And let's start this morning with Kitchener Waterloo looking at taking parking tickets, traffic tickets out of the courts. Joining us to talk more about that is Gloria McNeil. She's the Director of Bylaw Enforcement for the City of Kitchener. Gloria, thanks for coming on with us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
So how many people, when they get a traffic ticket here in Kitchener-Waterloo, actually kind of take it to the next step and take it to court?
So just to clarify, this would be a parking ticket, not a traffic ticket.
Oh, parking tickets.
Yeah.
Okay.
So traffic tickets are issued by police.
Wait a second. I didn't even know you could take parking tickets to court. You can take parking tickets to court?
You sure can.
Well, holy hallelujah.
Yeah. So we get about 800 to 900 trial requests per year.
Wow. Yeah. So when I said, traffic tickets that are issued by police officers involving, you know, dangerous driving and stuff. Yes, I should have been better at clarifying that. So, you know, the minor infraction that is parking tickets, 900 people try to fight a parking ticket per year.
Correct.
How do you kind of, I mean, you either are or you aren't. It's kind of like being a little bit pregnant, isn't it? Do a lot of people kind of have a resolution they're happy with? Does what normally happens? Does the ticket get out completely? Does it get reduced?
It can be either of those, depending on the circumstance. I think what people generally are looking for when they request a trial is just to have the opportunity to go before somebody, express, you know, their concerns, what happened, if there's extenuating circumstances that occurred that day. And given the system that we currently have set up now, there is no opportunity for that to happen without going before a justice of the peace.
Okay, so we're thinking about in Kitchener and Waterloo moving to what is called this administrative monetary penalties system. So tell us what that is.
So what that is essentially it removes the trial portion of a parking ticket from the court system and brings it into a less informal process that we can run internally ourselves. And as we all know, the courts have a lot of pressure and stress on them right now, and there is a delay in the amount of time it takes for somebody to request a trial. We're essentially, right now, we're booking into March of next year, just to show you. So we're about 5 to 6 months behind, given the amount of pressure on the courts right now.
So this administrative monetary penalty system, or AMPS, as it is referred to, like not a new concept. This is working in other places.
It is. So the cities right now of Burlington, Brampton, and Oakville have all incorporated it and are doing very well, have seen a huge reduction of requests for trial because, again, it gives that the people the opportunity to have that face-to-face meeting with staff and have some sort of resolution instead of going to a trial.
And you talk about, you know, sometimes being able to resolve that issue on the very same day that the ticket is issued.
Correct.
And also, of course, that's going to reduce costs when it comes to officers, bylaw officers, having to go to court all day.
It will. I mean, we often have several officers sitting in court for the entire day waiting for their trials to be called. But it also is good customer service because people aren't having to take a day off work in order to also sit in court and wait for their trial. So I think it works out for both.
So essentially inside the office, then there are officers and those people, you know, would have the power that they could reduce or write off the ticket. And then after that attempt at resolution, if nobody was satisfied, then the next step is to take it to court.
So what would happen is if somebody wanted to come in and dispute a ticket or have a conversation about it, they could come in and they would see what's called a screening officer. That officer would have all the information related to that parking ticket in front of them. They would have that dialogue with that person, and they could either reduce the ticket, they could cancel the ticket, or they could do nothing with it and leave it as is. And then if that customer was not satisfied with the outcome of the screening officer's decision, then they could request a hearing. So they wouldn't be going to court, but they would still get essentially their trial. We would just refer to it as a hearing. And that would be done internally as opposed to in the court system.
Gloria McNeil is the Director of Bylaw Enforcement for the City of Kitchener, our guest this morning. Gloria, I think it's very, it should be acknowledged that you refer to the residents of Kitchener-Waterloo as customers. I think that's a wonderful thing to do.
Well, I think everybody's our customer in one way or another.
Yeah, sure. But I think that perhaps sometimes the perception is, you know, we average Joes, that the people that work in any form of government don't feel like we are a customer, that, you know, we should be served well. So I think we should acknowledge that's what you said. I think that's great.
Thank you.
More people probably, I mean, it seems far less kind of overwhelming or intimidating to kind of, you know, go into City Hall to try to deal with a parking ticket than it does to, you know, go into a courtroom.
And that's exactly it. That plays into that whole customer service piece as well, is that, I mean, court is very intimidating, and a lot of times people are fearful of taking that route. So they opt to pay out when maybe they would have had a different option if we had a process like this in place.
And I suppose when it comes to, you know, any dispute you have with the city, whether it's about parking or some other sort of bill, I would probably, and I'll speak just, you know, I'm not speaking for you, I guess that perhaps approaching with kindness and some calmness in one's soul is the best approach and will be more well received than someone kind of being angry and upset right off the bat.
Kindness is always the best approach.
It certainly is. Okay, so this is not yet, you know, for sure, but you presented this, right, at a recent council discussion. So when will we know if this is something that we'll be doing here in Kitchener-Waterloo?
So right now we are in the research phase of it. So we're just trying to get an idea of what would be involved, the costing, and we would be taking a report to council probably spring of next year, looking for some direction.
Gloria McNeil, Director of Bylaw Enforcement for the City of Kitchener, I certainly do appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Enjoy your day.
Bye-bye.
Have you ever fought the law and won? Have you ever, Polly, are people calling to tell me how they fought the ticket? I want to hear these stories. I've had my fair share. I won't fake that either. I've had my fair share of tickets. I've never taken one to the next step, mostly because I thought I was probably guilty. Have you ever fought a ticket? Doesn't have to just be parking tickets, although that's what we're talking about, obviously, with Gloria in this case. Have you ever fought a ticket, taken it to court? What was your result? Star 570, 519-570-2545. Successful or not, we'd love to hear those stories. Have you ever fought a ticket? Tell us right now. You can email me too, jennifer@570news.com. The challenge is out for you to say something nice about your ex as well. Whew, it's a tough gig for you guys this morning. This is the Jennifer Campbell Show. We'll be right back with your calls on 570 News.
Don't look at your phone. Just listen to us.
Monitoring every traffic source for your safest, fastest traffic solutions. Your traffic team is 570 News, Kitchener's breaking news, traffic, and weather station.
I just don't understand, but I don't even understand how you fight. Like, you were either parked there at an expired meter or in a no parking zone, or you weren't. You know, if you get let off on that, you just count your blood. I gotta fight harder. Have you ever fought a ticket and won? Have you ever said, no, I will not pay this ticket, I am innocent, and gone to court with it and won? Star 570, 519-570-2545. We're talking about how the City of Kitchener is thinking about moving to the Administrative Monetary Penalties System, AMPS. We just spoke to Gloria McNeil, who's the Director of Bylaw Enforcement for the City of Kitchener. And, you know, this is a concept that will kind of take the tickets out of courts and stop clogging up courts with parking tickets. Not your traffic ticket. If you're going to fight your distracted driving ticket, you're still going to have to go to court, obviously. Jennifer emails me, jennifer@570news.com. She says, hi, Jennifer. I got a parking ticket for the first time this year. It was on my birthday. That's sucky. I would have fought it if I had the time, but I didn't think this new system would be very helpful, Jen. Well, it's not in place yet, Jen. But how? Tell me how. I don't understand. If you got a parking ticket, it's because your car was parked somewhere where your meter was expired or it was a no parking zone, right? So Jennifer, tell me more. Tell me more. Why would you have fought the ticket? I have never fought a ticket or tried to. I feel like most of the tickets I, you know, received, I deserved, I think. Be radically responsible for your own reality. You know, that whole concept that I like to preach about. But I did do this one time, and I will not mention the Waterloo Regional Police officer's name, mostly because I don't want to embarrass him or get him in trouble or, and I don't remember. But I have told this story in the company of our fine police chief, Brian Larkin. So I'll tell it to you now, too. So one time I was leaving my doctor's office. For, you know, that lovely, used to be once a year, ladies, that we did it. Now I think it's once every 2 or 3 years. So I was leaving the doctor's office for what is just, you know, nobody wants spotlights shining up their lady gardens. You know, it was just, it's not fun. So I leave the doctor's office. I'm driving and I was going a little too fast, probably because I was going to go buy myself a treat for enduring the, you know, the examination, and I got pulled over. And so as the officer approached my car, I was like, and I said to him, you know, listen, I know I was going like 10 over, but I am not having a pap smear and a speeding ticket in one day. Okay. I just don't, come on, cut a girl some slack here. And I don't know whether he just wanted to get away from me or he was like, okay, all right, slow down. Stern warning. I got a stern warning, which I deserved. Probably deserved the ticket too. *570-519-570-2545. Have you ever fought a ticket and won or lost? A parking ticket or otherwise? Good morning, Lorraine. Good morning.
Hi, I just love your story. That was great. Anyhow, this was before overnight street parking was allowed in Cambridge, and I was called in the night to go to emergency for, I was working in emergency and they had to call me in. So, I pulled my son's car out into the drive, out of the drive and took off with my car, and he got a ticket on his car. And so I just went down, I can't remember, and, they canceled it because it was some extenuating circumstances.
Oh, well, that's good. I'm glad. And it seems like that they're quite reasonable.
Yeah.
It seems quite reasonable to me. Well, that's good. I'm glad, Lorraine, because you were going to, you're a nurse, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Lorraine needs to go save some people's lives.
And also, my ex-husband always had a good work ethic. Always had a job.
Oh, say something nice about your ex. You just did it, Lorraine.
Right.
Yes, we're running out of time for that, so I'm going to have to do it later on this morning. But see, you did it. You're setting such a good example.
Right.
Thanks, Lorraine. Thanks. Right. And you know what? I'm having a revelation right now. I'm remembering a moment, I think it was about 15 years ago, where my ex-husband and I were out at the Duke of Wellington in Waterloo, and we had some beers, and it was winter time, and decided we were going to leave the car there, take a cab, and go home, which we did, and came back the next day to come and get the car, and there was a ticket on the car, and here's why it rubbed me the wrong way. It rubbed me the wrong way because right there where the Duke of Wellington is, where there was five or six bars, there were five or six places to go have drinks. And there was a large empty parking lot at the Waterloo Town Square. And so I thought to myself, you know what? I have enough money to have some beers and then take a cab home. Do the college kids, do the university kids, would they do that? Why do they have to choose? And I believe it was a $30 parking ticket. It was not a cheap one. And again, we were not on the right side of the law there. We were wrong. We weren't supposed to park there overnight, but we did because we were taking a cab home. And I emailed, I believe it was Ian McLean. I believe it was with counsel. And I said to him, this is my concern. We're trying to do the right thing. We want to leave our car there. It's a big empty parking lot. Here's my concern. There's a lot of kids who go drinking there. And there's a lot of drinking establishments there. And he did get that ticket reduced. And or gone. I think he got rid of it. And there are now a couple, two or three parking spots where you can leave your car at Waterloo Town Square overnight. Or there were until we built the Ion. Anyway, so that's a good ending too. I did fight a ticket. I fought the law and I won. So if you are ever considering leaving your car somewhere because you've been drinking, please do that. For the love of the Lord, do that. Just leave it there. And if you get a ticket, you can have a voice. It is 9:28. Yes, Lorraine has already started saying playing our game. Could you say something nice about your ex? That's on the way. The majority of us would give up this holiday tradition. What is it? It's a big one. We'll talk about that too. And we're going to have a guest next who tells us about a transgender job fair that is aiming to help integrate trans people into the workforce. That is after the news next at 9:30 on the Jennifer Campbell Show, 570 News.
There's never a dull week on Parliament Hill. We've got you covered on the week's events with McLean's on the Hill political podcast, available online on 570news.com.
Great response coming to you guys via email this morning, jennifer@570news.com. We're talking about fighting tickets, parking tickets, traffic tickets, and such. Some really great stories coming in. So before we get to say something nice about your ex, but if you're ready to do that, phone lines are open for you. *570-519-570-2545. Before we get to that, some responses to the parking ticket situations. Phil sends me an email, jennifer@570news.com. Hi, Jennifer. I'm listening to your show about people getting tickets and fighting them and winning. I have one for you. I'm a member of the Woolwich Township Fire Department. And last winter, about 6 a.m., we had a structure fire to respond to in town. The person's house was fully involved. I had to quickly move my daughter's car into the road so I could respond to the station in my own vehicle. When I returned home earlier that afternoon, there was a parking ticket on my daughter's car. It was put on the car only 15 minutes after I put it onto the street. I took the ticket to the town hall, explained why my daughter's car was in the road, and told them I didn't think I should have to pay it. The clerk was kind enough to take the ticket, promised me it would be taken care of. I felt pretty good about that. Yes, Phil, as you should. So clearly, there are exceptions to that parking ticket rule. Yeah, you're trying to. I was literally fighting a fire. David says, Turkey Point, many years ago, no parking sign newly installed and sign blocked by the foliage on a tree. I took a picture, sent it to the township, and they dropped the charge, signed Dave. You guys are good. You're gathering evidence. You have a good justification. So we'll wait and see what happens then with the city of Kitchener moving into the administrative monetary penalties system, AMPS. If that happens, to kind of clear out the parking ticket situation in court. Okay, so before we play this game that I hope some people are good at it. I hope they are. Before we play Say Something Nice About Your Ex, and I'll tell you the story about why we're going to play Say Something Nice About Your Ex in a couple minutes. Let's get to our next guest. A Toronto transgender woman is holding a job fair geared towards transgender and gender nonconforming people to try to spark systemic, third time's a charm, change in the Canadian workforce. And we have Biko Buta joining us now. Good morning, Biko. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I'm really good, thanks.
Am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Biko Buta.
Biko Buta. Lovely with the alliteration there. Mm-hmm. You are the founder of Trans Workforce. And mm-hmm. as I kind of did some research on this, because I'm sure people will wonder, well, you know, why do we need this program? Why do we need a trans workforce? I thought it was extraordinarily interesting that you talk about how transgender people often struggle to find work in conventional jobs. And often that leads into, undesirable work like drug dealing and the sex trade. Can you speak to that for me?
Well, we all know that it was trans-identifying and gender non-conforming people who threw the first brick at Stonewall, thereby igniting the gay liberation movement. Now, at that time, in 1967, or was it 69? I can't remember right now exactly. The LGBT community was at the same, everybody was at par.
Mm-hmm.
And then since then, when trans people ignited the gay liberation movement, you know, gay men and lesbians and everybody else have gone on to advance themselves in many ways. But I'm saying it's been at the expense of the trans community because the evidence is clear. If you look everywhere, the most marginalized people around the world are trans people.
You came to Canada as a refugee from Kenya some years ago. Did being transgender have a lot to do with why you were leaving your home country?
Yeah, it's illegal to be LGBT in Kenya, punishable up to 14 years in prison.
Wow.
And I didn't want to live my life as a criminal without committing any crimes.
Mm-hmm.
Born a criminal, basically. And I wanted to live a life where I feel like I'm in a place that I'm safe and free to self-determine as I see fit, with equal protections of the law, and Canada is that sanctuary for me.
But you talk about, too, how, you know, your idea for this founder of Trans Workforce came to be because you were living this. You were living this experience. You had 9 years of post-secondary education, and still you were having trouble finding work.
Yeah. Now, a thing that I've realized through my own experience is that once, and I'm speaking only for myself, so once I started my transition from male to female, I found that I had a loss of privilege. So there was this privilege that I had before I started transitioning that allowed me certain advantages. And then once I started identifying as transgender, that immediately went away. And that included, you know, certain rights that everybody has that even I have. But then when it comes to applying them, I found that when it comes to trans people, some things aren't just applied and they're socially acceptable, which is wrong.
You've had a really good response from employers in response to this Trans Workforce Project. Talk about, because I think we should be acknowledging these companies and these businesses who are obviously inclusive and want to have some really great momentum towards a diversified, inclusive place to work.
Yeah, we have these companies. The thing about diversity of trans people is that it can be seen at the very bottom, but not at the top. That's not progress. Once you start hiring diverse people and committing to promoting and advancing the careers of diverse people, we shall see progress. So we have two types of companies. We have those that want to come, and I'm being honest,
mm-hmm.
I find for all the wrong reasons.
Okay.
Basically, oh, you're having a trans job fair. Amazing. This will make us look so good.
Right. Okay. It's so a kind of superficial kind of.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's like, oh, my God, you're having a trans job fair. We've been looking for trans talent. We don't know where to find them. Can we come, please, please? And then there are those companies.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I remember, I guess it wasn't so long ago that, you know, that Donald Trump, you know, made this move that actually, you know, legally he could not make to say, you know, transgendered people would not be welcomed into the armed forces in the United States. And then quickly our Canadian armed forces responded with, you know, I think it was a tweet that mentioned that, you know, they accepted all Canadians, yeah, regardless of gender or sexuality. And I mean, I was really kind of proud to see that, and perhaps even a little bit surprised that the Canadian Armed Forces were so quick to respond to that in such a positive way. They are part of the employers that will be at this job fair. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And I've had people who are surprised. I was one of those people who was kind of surprised, but then I wasn't surprised. In fact, you know, how I found out the Canadian Armed Forces is coming is, I think I'd written a letter to the Minister of National Defense, the Honorable Mr. Harjee,
mm-hmm.
and he actually responded to my letter.
Wow, we really, he is a force, literally, yeah, to be reckoned with.
No, yeah. Literally, he's yeah. a force. And his response was basically, you know, he started off, it was so great. And then there was like the sad part. So I'm sorry I can't come to Trans Workforce, but instead I'll send the armed forces. Well, that's not what he said exactly, but he couldn't come because of scheduling conflict, but the armed forces is coming and he approved it.
Our guest is Biko Buta, founder of Trans Workforce. There will be this job fair taking place November the 20th. So as we continue to get close to the date of the Trans Workforce, is there still time, Biko? Is there still room for people who would like to take part as a company at the job fair and as someone who's attending the job fair as a transgendered person?
Technically, I'm not supposed to say there is, but I have two more tables available. And I'm holding on, to give those to, you know, the two companies that literally show us that they deserve it. Because we're at that stage now. It's not about us. We've been jumping hoops, you know, doing backflips yep. through rings of fire. And now we're saying, like, we're done with the circus. If mm-hmm. anybody's going to be performing, mm-hmm. it's you for us. We just need to work because you need to integrate people who have been forgotten by society into our benefits to contribute to the economy in legal ways. That's what we want.
Biko, I'm so glad that the response to this event has been, you know, into this capacity where you can be picky and choosy. I think that's wonderful, and it makes me feel good about the direction that we're going in.
Yeah, it is, because diversity is about people and inclusion is about culture. And I find that people tend to focus more on diversity without working on inclusion. So you can be, that's why it can be all about trans people, but transphobia is still a problem. That's because it's ingrained in the culture. And what we're trying to do is shatter that last glass ceiling of the gay liberation movement with Trans Workforce.
It's a wonderful conversation to have with you, and it's a wonderful thing that you're doing for our transgender and gender nonconforming folks and Canadians. So if people want to attend, still room for them to do that?
Oh, yeah. Anybody who identifies as trans and gender nonconforming can attend Trans Workforce for free. And it's going to be next Monday at the TIFF Lightbox building from 10 to 4.
Biko Buta, founder of Trans Workforce, I admire your work, and I admire your gorgeous face on Twitter, too. Goodness gracious.
You're sensational.
You Thank are you. Elegant and just a force to be reckoned with, too. So thanks for joining us this morning.
I'm transgender. We're all like that.
Yeah.
We're given a chance, and thank you for the platform.
Anytime. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
You're welcome.
That's
Bye.
Biko Buta, the founder of Trans Workforce. Pardon me. Right. Okay, Polly, what are we doing? Saying nice things about our exes? Yeah. You know, strangely enough, those phones aren't lighting up on that one. That's a hard challenge. I do have a couple, actually, via email that we're going to talk about. Why are we encouraging you to say something nice about your ex? Well, better me than a judge. We'll tell you that story. And also, the majority of us would skip this major key point, this tradition during the holidays. I'll tell you what that is after the break, too. This is the Jennifer Campbell Show, 570 News.
Your home for the Toronto Maple Leafs is 570 News.
Back we are, and back you are, too. I thank you so much for taking the time each and every morning to spend with us. Rogers Television is where you're watching us on Channel 20 and listening to us on 570 News. Comment from Edward on our conversation that we just had with Biko Buta, who's the founder of the Trans Workforce. That's a transgender job fair aiming to help integrate trans people into the workforce. A comment from Edward. I would think having a transgendered person at a job site would be detrimental to the employer, as the employer would have to be on guard 24/7 by continually warning employees against any innuendos, slurs, jokes, offensive looks, etc., that could lead to expensive lawsuits. That's a backward way to think, though, isn't it? How about instead of not hiring transgendered people, you don't hire people who are terrible human beings, who would make slurs and jokes and, you know, typical jackwads like that? How about you don't hire them? You know, I worked with a transgendered woman, a decade ago. Producer James and I were talking about this as we were talking about, you know, setting this up. She was a radio consultant, had been well known in the radio community when she was a male and transitioned. And you know what people thought about it? Nothing. Nobody cared. It wasn't even an issue. Why is it an issue? What does having, you know, what do your parts have to do with your expertise on radio, programming, communications? It just wasn't ever an issue. Maybe because there weren't any jackwads working there. I can think of one. But that person still wasn't even, it just wasn't a thing that we focused on. And this was a decade ago. So instead of thinking that the transgendered person is the liability, maybe it's the person who is, you know, making innuendo, slurs, jokes, and offensive looks. And if it's not the transgendered person who's going to be at the receiving end of those slurs, jokes, and offensive looks, it would be someone else. So I would say, instead of, you know, not hiring someone who's transgendered or who is female or who is whatever, black or whatever, that maybe you just don't hire people who are terrible people. I can't even think of like one word to encompass all of that, like sexist or misogynist or racist or homophobic. I mean, there's just a lot of words. Yeah. Anyway. Okay. So continuing on, Polly, say something nice about your ex. Can you do it?
Which one?
Polly, say something nice about your ex. Can you, right off the top of your head, what any of your exes ever?
The mother of my son, she is an excellent mother.
See, and you've said that, you have always said that, whether you've been on a microphone or not, which I think is incredible.
Yeah, when she was...
Incredible.
When she was, like when my son was, you know, a baby, you know, he'd, you know, do his business in his diaper and... Instead of getting all disgusted about it, she'd be like, oh, isn't that, oh, look, it's coming out the side. Oh, you know.
Wow. She really celebrated that,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, I know.
Lucky you. A judge in Hawaii ordered a man to pay his girlfriend 144 compliments after he bombarded her with nasty text messages. It's an unconventional punishment to this guy named Darren Young. He had already violated the court order not to contact a woman. So obviously we have terrible issues already there. But Judge Rhonda Liu said, for every nasty thing you said about her, you are going to say a nice thing. That's your punishment. No repeating words. That's good. It's so creative because it kind of switches your mindset, doesn't it, into, okay, like, you focus on all the terribleness, which is easy to do. Human nature makes us do that. Then you kind of forget all of the goodness. My ex-husband is extraordinarily good with money. Really good with money. You know, now to the point of annoyance sometimes when I'd be leaving Shoppers and not even back to the car. And he's like, what did you just spend $200 on at Shoppers? But he was very good at managing household finances and also, great dad. He's a great dad. He loves our son, and he is he's always, always wonderful to our son. So that is those are two things. I said two things.
Wow.
I'm sure I could come up with more. Producer James, what about you? Are you playing along with us this morning? Say something nice about your ex.
That's kind of difficult.
Okay.
But I sense
a story here.
Well, no. I mean, I'm not going to bore you with details, but...
I feel like those details might be super exciting. And you're a newlywed, too, so you're wonderfully, blissfully happy right now.
Yeah, you can say that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, one nice thing. Well, she was really good, like... In the classroom setting at learning things, like if you needed something to be explained to you, you went to her kind of thing, right?
Oh, that is a nice thing to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, she outside of the classroom, she wasn't very smart.
I think if you say the nice thing and then you add on that to the end, I don't know if it like deletes it. I'm not sure.
No, it doesn't. She knows that too. And the best part about this is that she's not even in Kitchener-Waterloo. She's in Winnipeg.
She's
so
in Winnipeg.
It's all good.
She's all bundled up in Manitoba.
She's an hour behind. We're good.
It's just an interesting punishment, and I think it's kind of creative. And I was talking to a girlfriend about this last night. One of my girlfriends is going through quite a rough time. And I said, you know, we innately remember bad things. Of course we do, because as human beings, it's a defense mechanism. You know, if you don't remember that your ice cream tastes amazing so that you'll have more ice cream, but you know that if you step on, when we were cave people, if you step on a sharp rock, it's going to puncture your skin and hurt you. So we retain those painful memories to defend ourselves in order to keep ourselves alive, you know? So it's easy to kind of remember the bad.
Well, I could come up with 15 bad things about her instead of one good thing, but
not saying they wouldn't be true. Okay, what about this one? I had an email from, let me get your name right. This is from Pete. And Pete said, Jennifer, you once said a little poem about Christmas presents that I want you to repeat. This is not my poem. I stole it from the internet somewhere. So when it comes to Christmas presents for our three children, we try to stick to this little poem. Something they want, something they need, something to wear, something to read. So you try to kind of stay to those four presents. I'm not saying I always succeed at that, but when you have grandparents, and it just tends to be like a lot of stuff, right? A lot of stuff. The majority of us, 69% of us, confessed that we would completely skip gift giving at the holidays if it was okay to do so.
I mean, I'm not going to say that I've done that before, but I guess I'm saying that.
Have you done that?
I have, yeah.
Where you've like completely scaled down to...
With certain family members, yeah.
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 Because you're right. It gets to a point if you're buying for all your sister and her husband and the kids and the brother and the husband and the kids, like all of a sudden you were talking about thousands of dollars here.
Yeah. Like one year before Julia and I got married, we spent almost $2,000 on Christmas gifts. And I'm like, I'm not doing this every year. Like, we can't.
And then the wrapping, and then the organizing, and then the mailing them out.
Right.
Got to the point where I have most of my family, my brother's out east. I was spending more on postage than I was the presents.
Yeah.
So it was like, we got to kind of figure out something different here.
Yeah. So my rule now is that I'll get my parents something, I'll get my niece something, and then that's kind of where I keep it. At the tabs, and if my sister gets me something, then I'll get her something, but it's not something that we say we have to do or whatever. Like, my brother doesn't get me anything for Christmas. I don't get offended. It's just we're old enough that we don't need gifts anymore, right?
So. Exactly. And you kind of have to say that, I suppose, too. Like, to say, okay, listen, guys, just for the kids, we're just buying for the kids.
Yeah, and we're getting to the point where my niece is going to be two, or she is too, for this Christmas. And then when my brother has kids, when I have kids and stuff like that, it'll be more about them than us.
Yeah.
So that's where we'll focus the gifts on. So
I have a Christmas baby, almost. Polly's son is born on Christmas. My son's December 21st. I didn't buy that kid a Christmas present till he was 3 years old and he noticed. I was like, I gave you life and you're not even going to notice. You don't, when they're that little and they're getting all this stuff from all over the place. I gave you life. It is 9:58. Mike Farwell is going to come in and take great care of you for the rest of your day right here on 570 News.